Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Sunday, as you know, is Mother's Day, and for far too many Americans, that's basically a day of nothing more than sentimentality. I'm not opposed to sentimentality, but there's got to be more than that. Because when I think of motherhood, I'm not just thinking of sentimentality as much as we are sentimental about our mothers. I'm talking about the real, brave, courageous, substantial work that mothers do. Motherhood is like battle. And what we really want to honor are those mothers who are actually in there doing the incredibly brave and courageous work of motherhood. It is tender, yes. Let's be so thankful for that. But it is tough. It is hard work, and never more so than now in the 21st century, knowing that mothers are really mothering in the context of a very different world, and a world filled with many dangers and temptations and complications beyond that known by previous generations. We're going to have a very special guest, Rebecca Hagelin, author, formerly a chief officer with the Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C. Her story is going to, I think, be encouraging as we think about Mother's Day, and her book is really bracing, telling us a great deal of what really mothering looks like as an urgent calling for the 21st century. You'll be able to engage her in conversation. We'll be talking with Rebecca Hagelin, and we'll be looking at the urgency of motherhood on the Albert Mohler Program today. Mother Day in view on Sunday, Mother's Day coming. Lots of folks, by the way, if you didn't know that, you've heard it here for the first time. There may be some husbands out there, some sons out there that all of a sudden have just had a wake-up call on the way home from work on a Friday afternoon. If so, you got work to do. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We're going to get to that discussion in just a few moments. First, a review of some other issues of concern and interest. Earlier this week, I was on a local news broadcast here, a major package on religion in America. Gary Rodemeyer of WHAS Television 11 News here interviewed me. We had a very interesting conversation, and of course he was talking to some other people as well. Let me just remind you in background of what Gresham Machen said at the beginning of the last century. J. Gresham Machen, one of the great defenders of the Christian faith, early in the 20th century pointed out in his book, Christianity and Liberalism, that when you're looking at historic Christianity on the one side and what calls itself liberal Christianity on the other side, you're not talking about two different editions of the same thing. You're talking about two different religions. Time has proved Gresham Machen's prophecy and analysis to be all too correct. And you're going to be hearing a little bit of that drawn from this WHAS report in which I took part. Now, I want you to hear three different clips. Altogether, these take only less than a minute. But I want you to hear three clips. The first is by Dr. Jimmy Watson, who is a pastor at St. Andrew's United Church of Christ here in Louisville. And what we're talking here is about all the research, the surveys, the polls being now talked about in the press, the Newsweek cover story from Easter week, dealing with the question is whether America is a post-Christian culture, what it means for more Americans to be identifying themselves as secular in their outlook. This is requiring a lot of people to ask questions, and one of the persons that Gary Rodemeyer talked to about this issue was a pastor representing really liberal Protestantism. And if you're looking for a liberal Protestant denomination, you really can't find one that fits that designation better than the United Church of Christ. Listen to Dr. Jimmy Watson as he now speaks about what it means for us now to start over defining Christianity.
And it gives us an opportunity, I think, to go in with a unique message to these people, to reach out and say, kind of almost start over the way I look at it and say, this is what Christianity is.
Okay, now what you have here is a very, very interesting statement, basically, that we have the opportunity to redefine Christianity. And the United Church of Christ represents one of those denominations. I guess redefinition is one way to put what they're doing. I mean, in terms of the fact that they are it's hard to imagine one further on the left-hand side of American religious life, American Christian designation. They have embraced pluralism in terms of theology, universalism in terms of salvation, and have openly embraced gay and lesbian persons within the full life of the congregation. They have called for same-sex marriage. They ordain openly homosexual persons. And so when you say this is what Christianity is, that denomination is saying we're going to redefine it in a new way. Looking at all these people who call themselves secular, this denomination is taking the posture of saying you don't have to be secular. You can bring those same presuppositions into the church and find a spirituality that will add value to your life. Now, that's one way to look at this. That's one angle on this. Now, this is where I responded to virtually the same question.
That's what the church needs to do is just be the church. The church needs to be about preaching the gospel, preaching the word of God, building a vibrant congregation of believing Christians. That will have all the effect we need in the community.
So that's my answer, and I stick by it. When I was interviewed for this particular report, I was asked the question, what does the church need to do in light of the challenges of a secular age? And my response is what I believe the Apostle Paul would say. That is, preach the word in season and out of season. We do not have the right to redefine the gospel. We do not have a right to redefine what Christianity is. We don't have the option. We don't have the authority to turn Christianity into something it is not. Now, there was a third voice on this program. And if the pastor of the United Church of Christ represents liberal Protestantism, I think almost without doubt, proudly so, and I represent evangelical Christianity, the Reverend Carol Mahaffey of the Unity Church of Middletown, Kentucky, represents an understanding that is even further to the left. You're going to find this very, very interesting.
That particular church says, you have to believe this way, and if you don't, these are the severe consequences. I think people are just so astute spiritually, they're not buying that anymore. And I thank God they're not. Because the God that is evolving in Christianity now is a much more loving, accepting God.
Now, when you're actually at that point, and let's just take her words seriously. She ends by saying that the God that is evolving in Christianity is now a much more loving, acceptable God. She was speaking on behalf of the Unity Church. It used to be called the Unity School of Christianity, recognized as a sectarian cultic movement that basically very intentionally replaced historic Christian orthodoxy with more of what would now be called a New Age spirituality, even though it was in the early part of the 20th century that all this came to be. Now, the Reverend Carol Mahaffey of the Unity Church of Middletown says that the God that is evolving in Christianity is now a much more loving, accepting God. Now, what you have here is the next step in all of this. Now God is merely a symbol. And if you have a symbol, that symbol can evolve. If God is a mental construct, if God is an intellectual projection, if God is an idea, then you can change the idea to be whatever it is. We can renegotiate who God is. We can reconfigure who God is. We can decide that in this progressive age, God's going to have to be like this if indeed we're going to know him, love him. And by the way, him, meaning a masculine designation, is pretty much out, you could imagine, in this God who is evolving. So this God, whoever he, she, it is evolving, and obviously is evolving in a very progressive and liberal direction, into what is defined as, quote, a much more loving, accepting God, end quote. Now, that leads to the question, doesn't it? Quote, a much more loving, accepting God, end quote, than what? Well, than the God of the Bible. And you see, this is where now you have people who have taken the ultimate leap to say, we're just going to dispense with the God of the Bible. This God of judgmentalism, this God of judgment on sin, this God of holiness, this God who pours out his wrath upon unrighteousness, I want nothing to do with that God. Or, as many are now brave to say, the God who would demand a sacrifice for sin. The God who would require Jesus Christ to go to the cross, the God who would say that the cross was God's intention for the salvation of sinners. There are people who say, look, I'm simply not going to go there. I won't go there. And so you have, on the part of some now, God is nothing more than a socially constructed idea that is evolving. And here's just a word of warning. Just consider this. If we believe that God is evolving, I can guarantee you that he's evolving in the direction of who we are. I mean, if we're going to create an evolving model of God, then that evolving model of God is going to pretty much look like ourselves, because we're the ones who are coming up with him. We're the ones drawing this evolving concept of God in our own direction. And you know, there's an old word for that. And it's a word that you find in the Bible itself. Idolatry. When you create a false God, whether that false God is chiseled out of stone or carved out of wood, or simply created out of our intellectual concepts, it's every much an idol. And you know, the Old Testament and the New Testament together are simply so clear in their condemnation of idols. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The Lord God of the Bible is the only true God, and he makes very clear that he will not put up with idolatry. You know, the true God is the one who speaks, the one who speaks in his word, the one who speaks in the word of Scripture so that we know who he is. I like the way one of the prophets put it. When he spoke of the idols, he said, they are like scarecrows in a cucumber field. They are mute. You know, the real God speaks. The one true and living God speaks through his word, and that's why we have any confidence at all that we know who he is and what the gospel is and why it matters. It's the only reason why we have anything to say and how we have any guidelines for thinking as we should think about things as Christians. And that's our task on the Albert Mohler Program. When we come back, we're going to do some hard thinking about motherhood. You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. We're talking about the hard and urgent calling of motherhood. One of the background concerns I have in this is that Mother's Day, for instance, specifically in motherhood in general, they're just often looked to with an overdose of sentimentality and a deficient diet of understanding. And as I look at it, motherhood is one of those most courageous callings on the planet. And especially in a time like this, in a culture like this, with the challenges faced by families, by children, and yes, by parents, speaking now specifically of mothers, I think motherhood is one of the bravest callings on the entire planet. We have with us today a special guest. Rebecca Hagelin is a nationally syndicated columnist. And she's been involved in developing and communicating the pro-life message in Washington. I have known her as vice president with the Heritage Foundation. She's now senior communications fellow for the Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C. Rebecca Hagelin's also an author. Her new book is 30 Ways in 30 Days to Save Your Family. Rebecca, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hey, it's always a privilege to be with you. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, you heard me say that I think that motherhood is one of the most brave and courageous callings. I think of my own mother. I think especially of my wife and as a mother. I think of all the mothers I get to see. You know, you have a unique vantage point, really, to kind of look out at the issue. Don't you agree that that we're really talking about something that should be talked about in terms of bravery and courage even more than sentimentality?
Oh, absolutely. And as you said, especially in today's society, which is dead set on driving a wedge between mothers and their children. More and more, even as a mother of three teens, I see it myself. Well, my oldest two are just now 20 and 21, but three kids, I see it more and more where moms are being relegated to the back bench, if it even on the field anymore with their kids. We hear from educators saying, you know what, we're smarter than you are. Let us educate your kids. We're seeing it from the pop culture. My goodness, my column in the Washington Times this week outlined taking my daughter, who was then 14, to a pediatrician for a sports physical, and the pediatrician asked me to leave the room three times so she could have a private chat with my daughter. And, of course, I refused. But it was astounding to me how shocked she was when I refused, because most moms, according to her, leave the room when asked to. And you're right, it takes courage. It takes a mom saying, wait a minute, God gave me this child to raise. I'm the one that's going to be there in the middle of the night. Something bad happens to them. I'm the one who's supposed to pass on my values and faith, not the professional. And it really takes moms rising up like a mother bear to protect their young like never before. And, of course, that's a central message in 30 Ways in 30 Days to Save Your Family.
Rebecca, I am just not shocked by what you said about the pediatrician, but I think some people would be. You know, many parents are unaware of how the parent's own authority has been undermined and subverted by law. In the case of what you're talking about there, by professional practice, where you have medical associations that are now assuring doctors that they have a legal responsibility to allow minors to have independent access to health information and to discussion with a doctor, such that you're just cut out of the equation. We just looked at the fact that the Food and Drug Administration has lowered the age of access to Plan B the morning after pill to girls now 17, and they're looking at making it even lower. I mean, how does a mother jump in the middle of that?
Well, first of all, a mother has to know that when you have a daughter that's under 18 years old, you are the ultimate responsibility for them. You are the legal responsibility for them. The law is on your side, number one. Certainly, God's design is for you to be raising your children, and don't give up your authority. One of the things as a conservative Christian that I'm upset by, like a lot of us are, is that we're losing our freedoms more and more every day. But there's a certain portion of our freedoms that we're also just giving away because we're afraid or we don't understand what our rights are. And as in the case with this pediatrician, the first two times she said, I need to have a private chat with your daughter. When I refused to leave, the third time she said, no, you have to leave. These are privacy issues. And she was trying to make it sound like I had no legal right to be in the room. And, of course, I do. And parents don't know that. They're scared. We're also, here's another message that moms have to fight all the time is, you know, let us talk to your child. Your child probably feels uncomfortable talking to you about issues like sex. Well, my child is only going to feel uncomfortable talking to me like that in our close relationship if society keeps telling her she should be uncomfortable.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there are those trying to say just that, and it is absolutely amazing. Rebecca, let me ask you a question. In your new book, 30 Ways in 30 Days to Save Your Family, you're really talking with some urgency here. I mean, this is about saving the family. Do you really see it as that urgent?
I absolutely see it that urgent. Again, as a mother of three, as someone who writes about culture and family issues every week, I have a weekly column called How to Save Your Family. I hear from parents all over the country about how they feel their values are under attack. And here's the other part. We're kind of living in a perfect storm, our kids are right now. They're at the center of the perfect storm. One element is the 24/7 media culture, which is out to sell them a worldview that is opposite from what moms and dads have. And I've got a whole chapter in 30 Ways in 30 Days called Understand How Marketers Target Your Children. And really the way they do that, the way they go after the dollars that our children spend, which, by the way, our kids are the most affluent generation of teenagers in all of history, therefore they're the most marketed to. The way that marketers do that is by preying on our kids' raging hormones, their sexuality that gets their adrenaline pumping, so they give them highly sexualized materials to keep them coming back for more, and they're really being manipulated. And they're being manipulated by adults who don't share our worldview. So that's one part. And then the other part that makes it urgent is that, you know, the education system is selling our kids on everything from your evolution to global warming to graphic sex education to handing out condoms in the classroom. And, of course, this causes our kids to be more sexually promiscuous, not less sexually promiscuous. Yep. And then, of course, the third element is the fact that we live frantic, busy lives. And one of the calls in 30 Ways in 30 Days is for parents to just stop, get off the train for a few days with your family, stop all the activity, and really evaluate how you spend your time, each family member and your family unit as a whole, and then quietly add back or slowly add back the activities that you really should be involved in.
That's a pretty radical prescription. Let me ask you, given all the dangers out there, and you've got three teenage children, I assume then that they are bound and gagged in the basement.
Well, you know what? I actually have a chapter called How to Make Your Home Inviting, Warm, and Fun. And I can tell parents right now the prescription for failure is all of a sudden start yanking out the technology, making your home a no zone. You need to paint for your child the vision that God has for them of a beautiful future. When you parent deliberately in love and commitment and you set out this wonderful life.
Rebecca, hold that for just a moment. We'll be right back. Folks, you can join the conversation by calling me at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We're talking with Rebecca Hagelin, author of 30 Ways and 30 Days to Save Your Family. We're talking about the urgent, brave, courageous calling, not just of parents in general, but of moms, mothers in particular. The phone number 877-893-8255. Coast to coast and with listeners around the world, you're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. We're talking about the brave, courageous calling of motherhood in the 21st century. Rebecca Hagelin is my guest, nationally syndicated columnist. She is currently Senior Communications Fellow for the Heritage Foundation, formerly Vice President there at Heritage, an organization for whom I have, for which I have just great respect. Well, lots of wonderful folks there. I've been a resource scholar with the Heritage Foundation for a number of years. It was there that I really met Rebecca Hagelin. And Rebecca, I want to ask you a question. You made a change in your employment status that really is relevant to our discussion here. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I really have spent 25 years in the public policy arena. Most of those years I've been blessed to have a home office. The last 5 or so years I've been a vice president at Heritage. I would go in and leave in the afternoon to be there in time for my teenage children. And I guess as we became more successful at Heritage, I found myself staying for one more meeting, taking one more batch of papers home, and really felt a longing in my heart to really cut out a lot of that. So my husband and I spent a lot of time praying and saying, you know, Lord, should I just really walk away from the big time job and get every minute I possibly can with my teenage daughter, because my two boys have gone off to college. And the answer came when I was writing the chapter on Create Family Time. Because it suddenly dawned on me, yes, I'm working for the cause of God. I felt like I was at Heritage Foundation, but there were a lot of people that could do my job and do it very well, but I was the only mom that Kristen had. And as a 16-year-old daughter, she needs me now more than ever. So I got up from this epiphany, and I walked down from my computer, and I said to my husband, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm just supposed to quit my job. And he said, okay. So I went in the next day and I told the CEO of the Heritage Foundation, whom I love dearly, that I really felt like I needed to step aside as the vice president and needed to do that as soon as they could replace me. And he was very gracious. I told him why. He understood. And so he asked me to stay as a senior fellow and do a few projects here and there for Heritage. And, you know, the message is, I'm so grateful I did, because we only have a short time to mold the hearts and the souls and the minds of our children. They're like hourglasses that the sand is falling through and you can't stop it. And, you know, you turn around and they're walking down the graduation aisle and out your door. And I'm so grateful for the extra time I have to just be there.
I think that's a great story.
My daughter needs me.
Yeah, that I think is something that a lot of folks will want to hear. And I really appreciated that when I saw this. And, you know, a lot of people would say that's a great loss for Heritage, and it is, but it's a great gain for your children. And that's just far more important. I love the way you put it, as sands in an hourglass. If you want to join the conversation, perhaps you have a question or a comment you want to address to Rebecca. This is Rebecca Hagelin, who is a Senior Communications Fellow for the Heritage Foundation. She's the author of the new book, 30 Ways in 30 Days to Save Your Family. But all that aside, she's here because she's a mom who has some things to say that I think we all need to hear about motherhood. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Michelle's on the line. Go ahead, Michelle.
Hi. I just wanted to thank Rebecca for making such great points about saving today's family. I'm not a mother. I'm not married, so I don't know if and when I will be, but I was a marketing major in college, and the things that you were saying about the marketing aspects were just hit right on the head, and I just want to thank you for making people more aware of that.
Well, thank you. One of the calls I had when I wrote this book was to just really unify parents with their children. And so I have a whole chapter also called Fight the Culture, Not Your Child. And when you help your child deconstruct the marketing messages, and that programming they're listening to is decided by adults who don't share our worldview, all of a sudden they start understanding and they don't want to be manipulated, and then you and your child can fight the culture together.
Very, very interesting point. To join the conversation, give us a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. You know, one of the most important things I think we really have before us in this conversation is the fact that parents in general, moms, our specific focus today, are defined not only by the relationship, but by what they do. There's a calling here, and there's a stewardship of that calling. And I just want to valorize moms who are actively engaged, especially Christian moms in Christian homes, seeking to raise Christian young people. And a part of what really is required here is not just courage, but there's a lot of intelligence required here. There's a lot of knowledge required here, and that's where, for instance, a book like 30 Ways in 30 Days to Save Your Family by Rebecca Hagelin could be a big help. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. More in conversation about the brave, brave calling of motherhood when we come back on the Albert Miller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Moeller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Moeller Program. It's interesting the kind of response you get when you talk about things on the radio. One of the things I've been trying to say, one of the notes I've been trying to strike, is that sentimentality is fine for Mother's Day. Nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, if you can talk about your mother without being sentimental, something's probably very wrong. However, my argument is that that can't be the main focus, because if we're really going to honor motherhood, we have to honor what motherhood requires. And I watch my wife as mom, and I just have to say, our entire life as a family, I think, would unravel if she didn't do the brave, courageous work of motherhood. She's the one who, in so many ways, is there in the most courageous, in the most intellectual, in the most just faithful and serving way. You know, it just takes fortitude. I think I can't think of very many jobs in the world that would take more moral fiber than being a mom in the 21st century. My guest today is Rebecca Hagelin. She is the Senior Communications Fellow for the Heritage Foundation, nationally syndicated columnist, author of the new book, 30 Ways and 30 Days to Save Your Family. Rebecca, I've been enjoying the conversation. Let me come at it from a different angle for just a moment. Let's talk about what's going wrong right now. What is so different now about the challenges of motherhood? Then in the past, I mean, pioneer mothers had to worry about bears coming into their cabins and had to worry about Indian attacks here on the frontier. But, you know, the dangers now are perhaps, well, they're not seen as dangerous as they really are.
That's right. The big difference is these marketers we talked about. Our kids are in the crosshairs of people who have a very different worldview than we do. Our children are consuming, on average now, this is according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, up to 8.5 hours of media a day. That's because many times they're multitasking. They're playing a video game while they're listening to their iPod, or they're on their computer while they're talking to their friend on the cell phone. And the people who, by and large, are reaching our children are people who don't share a Christian worldview. This is why you can have, all of a sudden, a whole generation of young 10- and 12-year-old girls dressing like little streetwalkers, like Paris Hilton, or why you can turn on television in the prime time hours and see shows like Gossip Girls, which is all about sex, 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 geared towards your kids. And parents a generation or two ago didn't have that problem. And the culture seemed to go along and support parents.
Yeah.
In our efforts,
I think,
to pass on our values rather than subvert us.
I think that's a very important point. I think one of the things that that most troubles me is the way that parenthood is being subverted in a very active sense. And just to be specific, you mentioned the incident with the pediatrician and your daughter. I think most people are unaware of how this goes on in so many public school systems, how, you know, the late Philip Reif just discussed this, suggesting that there's now this giant army of professionals who would intervene between parents and children. I think a lot of parents are unaware of this.
They're totally unaware of it. And then there are the new technologies that are being abused. I love technology. And, you know, the problem is not the wires and the metal and the signals. The problem is people who abuse them. One of the new things, and I write a culture column every week to keep parents abreast of the newest challenge, one of the newest challenges, is several states are starting free sex texting services where your child can use their cell phone and anonymously text a sex question to an anonymous adult who will answer their question in 24 hours.
Yeah, we talked about that on Monday on this program. It's just shocking. And
it
again,
is shocking.
You know, that's one of the reasons why I come back again and again, and I think you're going to affirm this, Rebecca. I say to parents that you are failing as parents if you are not in control of the electronics. And that means you've got to be, you've got to have the passwords, and you've got to control the access, and you better know what's going on that cell phone.
That's right. It's time for parents to really embrace technology. Again, technology is not the enemy. I mean, my goodness, technology of radio many decades ago is what lets you spread the gospel and the truth on the air. The latest way that technology manifests itself needs to be embraced by parents. We need to be unafraid to get online and download an internet filter. As a matter of fact, in 30 ways in 30 days, I actually have researched the best internet filters. So parents, you don't even have to do the homework. It's a way to keep your kids safe from online porn. For instance, 90%, 9 out of 10 kids who go online will view pornography simply because mom and dad haven't bothered to put a filter on the internet.
Yeah, that's scary
active.
Stuff.
Yeah, you cannot be passive. I've researched television controls. I've got all the hardware questions that you could possibly have, how to keep your kids safe in online social networking. And then I also go into the relational elements, because we talked about this a few minutes ago. If you all of a sudden make your home a no zone where everything is off limits, your kids will rebel against that.
Yeah,
but if
absolutely.
You take the time to share your vision with them, and have get up every morning purposed in your heart to show your love to them in some physical, meaningful way, and your commitment to them, you will have a better relationship and the rules will start making sense.
You know, just in terms of that whole issue, we could do show after show on that. But again, parents have to parent, and that includes in the digital age and in the digital realm as well. Rebecca, we got a call from Rachel calling. She's listening on KMMJ in Grand Island, Nebraska. Go ahead, Rachel.
Hi, I just want to say amen to everything so far. My first question for Rebecca is, I'd like to hear your opinion on homeschooling. I know you mentioned the pediatrician and, you know, not feeling comfortable with them.
Let's go immediately. We got time short
here,
so let me turn to Rebecca. Okay, go ahead, Rebecca. Homeschooling.
Well, I have a chapter. Yes, I have a chapter called Direct Your Child's Education, and I love homeschooling. I did it for 5 years in our family. We didn't do it consecutive years. As a matter of fact, we had one child in public, one in private, and one homeschooled. The point of the chapter is you are the person that's ultimately responsible for your child's education. You need to know what their needs are at any given time in their life, what's available in your community, and homeschooling is a fabulous option for a lot of families.
It has been a pleasure to have Rebecca Hagelin of the Heritage Foundation as my guest today. And Rebecca, I go back to a time when I met you in Washington, D.C., and I discovered the most amazing thing. You began by talking about the story of a pediatrician. Your father was my pediatrician. I just want to say thank you again.
Thank you so much, Albert. And my dad would love to know what you're doing today.
Well, it's a great honor. Dr. Henry Redd was a pediatrician in Lakeland, Florida, and we discovered when we were at the Heritage Foundation together one day that commonality, which I consider a great honor. We'll be right back with more on the Albert Mueller Program. Well, just another word of alert to those who may not have realized that Sunday is Mother's Day, and, you know, it really is one of those holidays that sells lots of cards and lots of gifts and other things. And as we started the program, you know, it's just a time of sentimentality for so many, and there is sentimentality that's here. And you know, just the love and appreciation for mothers. I think of my mother. I think of grandmothers that were so important in my life. I think of my mother's. Of my wife's mother and the importance of tracing all this together. I'm so thankful that my mother and my wife's mother are still alive. I am so thankful for my wife as the mother of my children. And my love for her is just so deep. And as I see Mary and have seen her now for 20 years, not only as wife, but as mom. But I just want to come back to say it's just a whole lot more than that. It needs to be valorized. Motherhood needs to be valorized for the bravery and the courage that is required for motherhood in these days. We really depreciate motherhood when we sentimentalize it. And it's just too easy in this culture to sentimentalize mothers. At the same time, you're subverting motherhood. And that's the very thing I do not want to do on this program, and it's what I want to encourage you to see as you look to the larger culture. It was good to have Rebecca Hagelin as a guest. She was introducing me, as I recall, back at the Heritage Foundation a few years ago, and she saw I was born in Lakeland, Florida, and she just said, "Who was your pediatrician?" I told her. It turned out it was her father, Dr. Henry Redd, there at the Children's Clinic in Lakeland, Florida. Just we were discussing this afternoon as we were talking about this program, the very fact that Lakeland, Florida, where I grew up, was born 50 years ago, was like Norman Rockwell's America. I mean, it had its problems, and it had crime and poverty and all the ills that beset humanity. But I'll tell you what, it was, I think, an almost idyllic place at an idyllic time to raise children. I didn't have to worry about so many of the things that children worry about now. I didn't have to worry about the internet. I didn't have to worry about, the sexting on cell phones. I didn't have to worry about any of that. As a matter of fact, I think about all the things I didn't have to worry about. It's because not only did I have Christian parents, I also had all these mediating structures around me, a wonderful church and schools that were safe, and an entire culture that was intact in terms of moral expectation and just in terms of parental authority and so many other things. And now you look at that in relief and contrast to where we are today, and you realize it's true. The stakes are just a lot higher. The complexities are far greater. The challenges, the subversions to parenthood are really out there. But don't give in. Don't throw in the towel. And don't try to pull your children completely out of the world. That simply won't work. Instead, let's work at the brave task of parenting. And with Mother's Day before us, let's really honor motherhood, looking at what mothers actually are called to do and to be in a world like this. Thanks for listening to the Albert Mohler Program. I'll meet you next week for Intelligent Christian Conversation. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.